Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you and welcome. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you are on board today, especially right now if you're a Bucks fan. As we're going to try to put a cap on the season. Positives, negatives, everything that goes along with it. Steve Novak from Fox Sports Wisconsin. Analyst in here in studio with us. We'll get to that in just one moment. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at QuickTrip. Want to remind you, okay, coming up, we are going to be in Madison. It is going to be coming up Thursday night, June 7th at the Wisconsin Brewing Company, 1079 American Way. That's in Verona. And we have another cigar dinner, only 50 tickets available. They're limited, $50 a piece. You get a couple of cocktails, dinner, four cigars, plus all the raffle stuff that they're going to sign you up for when you walk through the door. Cocktail hour, 5:30 to 6:30, 6:30 to 7:30-ish dinner catered by Wood Barbecue, and then the raffle, and then we're going to do a little Q&A and have a lot of fun. You can get tickets. They're on sale right now at the Tobacco Outlet Plus on Sherman Avenue in Madison, Willow Road in Wanakee, and the Quick Trip on County Road, PA. That's in Verona. And like I said, there's only 50 tickets available. They go fast. They really do. So we're going to be in Madison coming up Thursday night, June 7th. You can see us a one-time appearance out there doing one of these cigar dinners that sold out all over the state last year. Guaranteed to sell out again. So get your tickets. Get your tickets now. That is at Tobacco Outlet Plus and Quick Trip. And thanks to them for taking us out there. Steve, how you been?
I've been better. How
yeah,
you
tell
been?
You about it. Well, we're good. I mean, you know, for our business and what it is we do, it's not a terrible thing. But as a Bucks fan, it's certainly not the way you wanted the season to go and wanted the season to end. It was interesting because I was saying that when you and I left the Cafe Benelux last Thursday, and Vin Baker had said it's not another road game; it's Game 7. I wanted to go run through a wall, and I'm thinking this is a different attitude. This is going to be great. And then to see that craptastic performance that they put on Saturday night had to be disheartening up close and personal.
It was. You know, I think after game 6, too, right? So
right.
I do think there's so much truth in what Vin said, right? That there's home games, there's away games, but game 7, you go, we can go to the park. It doesn't matter. The guys are going to bring it. It's going to be all guts on the line.
Yeah.
You do the Hoosiers. You know, everybody says they're 10-foot hoops. You find a way to just block everything out and may the best team win. And as a Bucks fan, like you said, there's the fans and there's, you know, being close to the action. I just think you had to feel like the Bucks were the better team, that the momentum seemed to be going their way.
Right.
They got that great win in game 6 again. And it was game 7 felt to me like kind of a slow death. It just,
yeah.
It's just right. It was like they were always close enough because Boston's never going to just scorch you.
Mm-hmm.
But they just could never get over the hump. And then all of a sudden, the fourth and the third, you look, they're down by 20, and you were just disheartened because you had to be feeling good after game 6.
They were up 15-10. They were on that roll early on, and I thought, oh, my God. Okay, now they're believing. And they looked like it had energy, and Thon Maker was fired up. And you never see Thon Maker get too emotional, you know, but he's high-fiving, and it's just like, okay, Boston calls a timeout. Stevens knows his team is reeling. You got to gather it in, and I'm thinking, okay, here you go. After that, it was like, where'd the wheels for the car go? It just they reverted back to all the bad habits that we've been talking about all season long. One-on-one basketball, not crashing the boards, out-rebounded terribly on the offensive ends. It never seemed to culminate. Now, as you start to move forward, what, in your opinion, what needs to happen?
What the Bucks team felt to me like in that series was not cohesive enough. Simply unbelievable pieces at times where Giannis, I don't even think we need to go into it. What he does and some of the performances he has are spectacular. Chris Middleton in that series was unbelievable. 61% from three, 59% field goal overall. There wasn't a better player in the playoffs,
right.
Maybe.
He was fantastic, yeah.
So you look at individual performances and you go, that makes sense. Eric Bledsoe was hot and cold. Jabari was hot and cold. We know both of those guys have been and can possibly be stars in their own right. So you look at paper and you go, great, 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 great. But there's this cohesiveness that has to happen. I think about, in my personal experience, I'm on a New York Knicks team. We are not supposed to be good. We're supposed to be a selfish team with Carmelo and Amari. We're a bunch of old guys. We got Rashid. We got Marcus Camby. We got Kurt Thomas. We got some guy named Jeremy Lin who's probably going to get cut next week. We got Landry Fields who can't shoot from the perimeter. We were able to be cohesive. We had guys that played their roles perfectly. I stayed in the corner and stayed out of the way. Landry Fields was going to slash, get catches, and finish at the rim whenever he got the chance. Tyson Chandler would set 50 pick and rolls if he needed to. Guys playing their roles perfectly. No conversation of overlap of, I shouldn't be in when this guy's in. These two guys can't play well together.
Mm-hmm.
That cohesiveness, I think, when you have a team. We beat Boston in the first round of those playoffs. We end up losing to Indiana in the second round. So I just mean, on paper, we were nothing that year compared to this Bucks team. And so I think it has to be cohesion. I think guys like Malcolm Brogdon are glue pieces. Guys like Tony Snell were certainly signed to be a 3-and-D guy, cohesive with that starting lineup pieces. So I just think that magic's got to come together. It's tough to force to make it happen.
Right.
Something that either happens or it doesn't. You're seeing it in Philly right now.
Let's do this, because I'm going to open up the phone lines. If you got a question, whether it's for Steve, for us, just a comment, go ahead and fire it off to us, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648, on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. Let's go to James, listening to us over in Columbus, Ohio, in Buckeye country. James, how you doing today, man? What's up?
No, not much, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Just got a quick question. I seem to watch the Pelicans and Anthony Davis, and he seems to get, I don't know, between 3 and 5 super easy looks close to the basket, whether it's alley-oops or he's just wide open off pick and rolls. And even Boston sometimes in this Milwaukee series, they were getting easy buckets. And I just want to know, is it scheme? Is it the cohesion element that Steve was just talking about? Is it skill set, player personnel, coaching? Why can't the Bucks seem to get easy shots? Because every time, you know, we would score, you know, you see Chris Middleton rising up for 18 feet, but he's got two hands in his face. He'd hit him, but everything that went in for the Bucks seemed so difficult.
Good question. Appreciate it, James. So when you talk about every possession being a difficult possession, when they had open looks, it was ball movement. It was quick, fast ball movement. Every now and then you'd see a pick and roll. You'd see a screen set around the top, around the outside to open somebody up. Then you didn't have a hand in your face. But there was a lot of one-on-one basketball in this series.
There was a lot of one-on-one basketball. And I think, you know, to answer his question, I think that when you are the team going against the Bucks this coming night, you put a game plan together, a defensive game plan together, to say, over a 48-minute period of time, how are we going to be better at what we do than what they do? In the end, have more points. I think the answer to stopping the Bucks and to having more points at the end of the night than the Bucks is to pack that paint and take away what the Bucks do the best. So yes, Chris Middleton was able to make shots. He did make shots, but defensive schemes were built around building walls to stop Giannis, to stop Bledsoe, to stop Jabari, to stop that paint scoring, which is where the Bucks were dominant.
Right.
And so that's why I think that's a great question, a great point. I think it was difficult for the Bucks to score sometimes because the Bucks were trying to get in that paint and score, and the defense was building walls.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, you do see there's a lot of effort going into trying to get past those walls and score what seemed to be tough buckets.
Game 5 we talked about, where there was a lot of Giannis backing down, which normally would have been the Giannis will not be denied call as he goes in for a dunk. Never got it. Never got to the hoop in that entire game. Never got to the hoop. And when he was kicking it out, nobody was hitting from beyond the arc. It was wide open threes. I think they had 23 or 29 of them. Wide open. No, not a hand in their face, and they couldn't drop them. So when you can't shoot and you can't score in the paint because you just simply can't get to the bucket, it's a recipe for disaster.
You're left with mid-range shots, which is, no question, analytically, what every team is trying to get you to shoot, right? Like you said, if they stop the paint, they're not making threes. You're left with mid-range. Boston, before the series started, second-best team in the league at getting teams to shoot a low percentage in the mid-range. So It is. It's a recipe for disaster. You have to make shots. I mean, we could talk about making shots the whole show if you want, but there is no question that when you hear the comparisons of Ben Simmons, Giannis, if you could start a team today, who would you take? A lot of people are out there saying Ben Simmons. I completely disagree, but what people are seeing is Ben Simmons with J.J. Redick, with Covington, with Ilyasova, with Bellinelli, spreading the court, making the defense make decisions. Their decisions are they have to come out and guard those guys. So Simmons is better, and Simmons is really good, so they also have to guard him, leaving the shooters open.
If you're coming out one-on-one on Giannis, he's going to eat you up. When you don't have help and you just have to basically play between you and the basket, he's going to eat you up. But you've got help and you can build, as you said, the wall. Yeah, it's going to make it more difficult for him, especially when he doesn't have the cast around him that's going to completely support him.
Got to make shots.
Yeah. Let's go to another one here before we take a break. KJ's in West Dallas. KJ, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Steve, first off, I'd like to say I've really enjoyed your work all year long on Fox Sports Wisconsin.
I appreciate
great
that.
Great job. Yeah, I have a comment and as well as a question. The comment is Jason Terry. I followed him ever since high school. I was living in Seattle, and I watched him play at Franklin High School in Seattle. Tremendous player. Also in Arizona, I was oddly enough stationed in Arizona when he was playing there. And I think when he is done with his career, he would be a great addition to the Bucks. Coaching staff at this point. That going forward, hopefully that might happen. My question to you, Steve, is I've been kind of researching this kind of a clause called the disabled player exception clause, and I understand that Mirza Teletovic may not return to the Bucks based on his condition. I'm wondering, Trevor Ariza was given that exception for the Houston Rockets when Yao Ming went down. Do you think the Bucks have an opportunity to perhaps recover some of that salary and going forward and picking up another player with that salary?
I would have to absolutely look. Yeah, thank you. I would have to look more into exactly, I think, how that the disability works in that case and how Mirza specifically applies, because I know he was released. I don't know if it was based on, I know he had the...
If there's a medical settlement
yes,
in that, yeah.
Because sometimes there'll be a vagueness to it, and the team will just simply decide to move on, which is them deciding to take on that salary and pay versus insurance. So I don't know if that was the way it was.
Right. Because
I believe
they didn't make an announcement as to whether or not that was a medical separation or not. Usually when they say medical, then you know it's at least something that they're using the insurance for. And it's not counting against your cap.
Yeah. I think we'd have to find out exactly on the Bucks and how that was, if he was released.
Or if he was just cut loose and then they paid it off or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Let's do this. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're in studio with Steve Novak from Fox Sports Wisconsin. Obviously played at Marquette, played for the Bucks, played for numerous teams in the NBA, giving you his perspective as the way this Bucks season ended. If you want to chime in, 855-830-8648. This portion of the program brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Stay tuned. We have more right after this. Michael Show on the air. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day. We certainly appreciate it. 855-830-8648. If you got a question regarding the Milwaukee Bucks, Steve Novak, Fox Sports Wisconsin, played for the Bucks, also played for Marquette, numerous teams in the NBA, as a matter of fact. A lot of perspective. If you want to chime in, feel free to do so. We'll get into that discussion in just a minute. This portion of the program also brought to you by Marshfield Clinic Health System, the official healthcare provider of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, yours truly. And they fixed me up, got me back in the game regarding just a prescription. They can do the same for you. It's Care My Way. Call them 844-CARE-WAY. That's 844-CARE-WAY. And maybe they can get your prescription sent to a pharmacy near you, save you the time and trip and the money to go to a doctor. There's never more than a $40 charge.
charge, and if they can't help you, they don't charge you. It's that simple. Pay for play. That's the way it should be when it comes to your health. So all you got to do is check them out. 844-CAREAWAY or go to marshfieldclinic.org. That is the Marshfield Clinic Health System, the official health care provider of me. Steve's in studio, and we were sitting here talking about Giannis during the break, and I want to get this in before we get back to the phone calls. And Joe, you were asking him about Giannis and kind of how Giannis's game changed once Jason Kidd put him at the point.
Right. Right, and I've had, Steve, I've had Bucks fans bring this up on Twitter to me as well. It's like, Giannis' game blew up because they made him the point forward. After Michael Carter-Williams goes down, they put Giannis in, and Giannis is this triple-double machine. Everything changes, and that's really what got his game, you know, escalated to a whole nother level. And I know from time to time we've seen that this season where Giannis, he might take that ball up. I just feel like, maybe we need to see more of that out of Giannis. Maybe that ball has to be around him. We see it out of, you know, Jokic in Denver. LeBron, for crying out loud, is the ball handler a lot. He brings it up. I mean, is that possible, or have teams already figured this out and that's just not the strategy to go anymore with Giannis?
No, it's divided, right? A lot of people say he should be handling it primarily exactly for the reason you said. He played so well when he was the alpha handler, right?
Right.
A lot of people think he should be off the ball, not bringing it up, because he does a lot of his scoring in the paint. He's so effective in ISO. Just throw it to him on the block. Throw it to him in the mid post. Let him go to work that way. So he's not the guy who has it in his hands the whole time. I think when you talk about, when you compare him to a guy like LeBron, not to beat a dead horse, but the way that LeBron shoots the ball versus the way Giannis shoots the ball make them entirely different players in terms of how the defense is guarding them. I think you have got to guard LeBron 2-3 feet past the three-point line. In pick and rolls, he has guys going over the screen, chasing him, allowing him to go downhill, allowing the pick and roll coverages to be centered around stopping LeBron. When Giannis comes off a screen and roll, his man is going under the screen, protecting the paint, the bucket, and the big man is dropping back because they know Giannis is not going to shoot. So I do think that the difference between a guy like Giannis and a guy like LeBron handling the ball, being the primary guy, is that the defense is respecting LeBron, Steph Curry, these guys that are handling it way out on the three-point line. It extends the defense. With Giannis, it's just more action up top, and the defense just continues to be packed in the paint, stopping where they're essentially trying to get. So I do think the facilitation aspect is way less effective with Giannis right now, because of his shooting ability. I know everybody continues to talk about it. Exit interviews, it was, are you going to become a great shooter? Giannis said, I have been able to average 27, 10, and 5, not shooting. You don't need to tell me again. I understand. I do think he does have to take that next step if he wants to be the primary ball handler. He does have to be a shooting threat from the outside, because it changes the way defenses will have to guard him out there.
If he can hit beyond the arc.
If he can hit. I don't think
he's ever going to become like a Dirk Nowitzki type of shooter, though.
He won't. Right.
As a big man.
He won't. Doesn't need to.
Right.
Needs to be able to make people respect him. Know that if they go under, he will shoot it. Right now, the defenses know if they go under the screen, he won't shoot it. They'll still be in position fine to guard him. It's a big difference. The defense is able to stay in the way versus they're behind him chasing him. And you know what it is in basketball. If you can get a guy on your hip, you've created an advantage.
Exactly, yeah.
But if he's in front of you,
one arm swoop and you can move around him and you're good to go.
Right? Yes. And I don't think that it is necessary that Giannis become a great shooter. I think that he can be used in the right way, where you put shooters around him. Like I was saying with Ben Simmons, you have Ilyasova, you have Redick, you have these guys that make him able to operate in the ways that he needs to, because Giannis can beat his guy one-on-one every time. Get where he wants. Because the shooters are demanding so much attention. If you don't have enough shooting, there's four guys in front of Giannis sometimes.
Let's go back to the phone calls. Talk to Tom, who is listening to us in Marshfield on 92.3 FM up there. Tom, go ahead. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Pretty well. Steve, glad to have you back in the area, doing the pre- and post-game shows. I guess my frustration, and a lot of Bucks fans' frustration, is the inability to get a defensive rebound. Time and time again, either Hansen or Thonmaker get pushed out of the way, or they're not even in position to get the defensive rebound. And if you don't get the defensive rebound, you can't start running, And if you can't start running, the other team has the ability to set up their defense, and that's just hurt them time and time again. And the other thing I want to ask you is, do they need to get a serious three-point threat where, you know, we've got guys that hit one game and don't hit the next game, and I know that that happens, but you need to get a three-point threat so that you can open up the lanes for these guys too.
I appreciate the phone call. Look, as far as a three-point threat goes, that's consistent. We've talked about that. You know, when you got numerous shooters that can put the ball up from beyond the arc consistently, this team was trading twos for threes pretty much most of the season. And when they weren't, that means they were hitting their shots. But it was so sporadic. And it's not that I want to get into the whole comparison, but it was kind of like back when the Bucks had Michael Redd. And Michael Redd would go on these streaks where he was just on fire. But when he go cold, he go 0 for 25. So, and we saw that happen more than often this year, and it became mind-numbing because they couldn't figure out a way. It seemed like when they were going one-on-one, the shooting was bad. When they were passing the basketball, the shooting was good. And Steve, you were down there. We were talking about, well, their defense should affect their offense. And Malcolm Brogdon said, no, you get everybody involved, you start passing the basketball. It's just the opposite. The energy brings the defense. Then the defense then brings more transition buckets on the offensive side. It all starts with passing the basketball. When they went into one-on-one mode, it just shut everything down.
Yeah, it does. And we've, like you said, talked about this in the past about how basketball is, I like to call it, it's an energy sport. It really is where, like Malcolm was saying, and a lot of people go like, what do you mean if you're making shots, you're going to play hard on defense? Like, you're paying good money to play on both ends. It's just the reality of it. If you're feeling good, if you make a shot, you're so much more engaged. You're communicating better with your team. You're talking. You're doing all these things that you otherwise can just get away without doing. And so I do. I think making shots is equally as contagious as missing shots. And so when you get a group out there that philosophically is deciding, we are going to shoot this many threes because that's the way we're going to play. Brooklyn, for example, a really bad team, is committed to playing a certain way where they spread the floor, where they shoot the ball. They are not a good three-point shooting team, one of the worst three-point shooting teams. And they had a bad record. So it's hard to say, oh, they should be playing that way. No, but if they played another way, I think they would also be one of the worst teams in the league. But they're committed to playing that style of ball where they're shooting the ball because I think they know they're going to be able to have that system in place with that coaching staff, plug pieces in, and grow in, call it, today's game. They're going to already be playing that style. And it's because I believe spreading the floor, shooting from the perimeter, it opens so much stuff up, and it's analytically proven, like you said, trading twos for threes, it's really, really, really tough.
I mean, you're looking right now at a team like Golden State. That's their game is beyond the arc. And the Bucks game, we all know, is inside out, not outside in. So the game has changed dramatically, which is why it becomes even more important. We talked about the number of baskets that were made in particular games that the Bucks still lost. They won the total number of baskets, but still lost games by 6 and 8 points because they're settling for twos and they don't have the ability to shoot the three. If you're going to do that, you have to then buy into the mindset, we have to get stops. And that was something that I think Jason Kidd struggled with. I think Joe Prunty struggled with. It's not just an energy when you start making shots offensively. It has to be a commitment. And if you're only going to trade twos for threes, then you got to get stops. And if you're not going to get stops, you're going to lose a lot of ball games. And we saw this team doing that. How do you now go to them? Because it's not going to change dramatically much, let's be honest. Unless John Horst has naked pictures of GMs all over the league, he's not trading away a lot of things right now. I mean, the pieces are what they are, and there's a lot of contracts you're going to have to just sit on until those things run their course. So you're not going to change a whole lot, whatever coach it is, whether it's Prunty or anybody else. How do you now come in and change a mentality to say, guys, everything on the offensive end is fine, but defensively, we got to scrap it and start over, and you have got to buy in. How do you do that?
It's exactly what you just said, though. I think it's identifying your identity. I think if it becomes so clear in these guys' minds, like what you were just saying, if we're going to be a maybe not 2-point dominant team, but shoot more twos than a lot of teams out there.
Right.
The only way we are going to set our goals to be a top 4 seed is going to be we have to hold teams to under 100 points. Or we need to get players that are shooting more and making more threes. That's so that it's very clear to guys, black and white, we can either go in a different direction or this is what it will take in order for us to achieve our goals.
Mm-hmm.
We're shooting a bunch of twos. Therefore, teams cannot score Boston held teams, I think, to 99, 100 points. That's who we've got to be. And so you can look yourself in the mirror every day after every game and say, we give up 120 points. We are not going to be able to achieve what we wanted to at the end of the year. And so I think that it's not always getting rid of guys or getting a different style of guy. If you can lay it out black and white from the start, early on, training camp, that this is the group that we believe in. If you guys believe in each other, we're going to buy into this. We can do it, but it has to look like this. And then as the season goes on, if it doesn't, you'll understand, obviously, why moves are made or why different guys are playing or why you hear your name maybe in trade rumors. But the last caller had asked about that, too. We need more a defensive rebounder, someone more physical. It's, I think, a goon. One of those guys, you know.
We talked about that, yeah.
You know.
You need an enforcer, a badass in the middle. That's
important.
Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back. Joel, Phil, Art, David, a cast of thousands all on hold. Stay tuned. Talking to Bucks basketball. Steve Novak, Fox Sports Wisconsin analyst, joining us here in studio this hour. We've got a lot more coming up right after this in the Bill Michael. Bill Michael Show continues. Glad to have you. We have Steve Novak here in studio joining us as we put a cap on the Bucks season. Talking about this team, and it's without divulging, you know, state secrets here. We were talking off the air about you know, this team and a coach like Popovich, who you played for, and what he would do, and in the sense you're saying that he would just come in and sit guys down and get them to talk to one another and say, look. And we're not talking about the biggest stars. We're talking about Giannis and anybody else, or Giannis and Jabari, or Giannis and Bledsoe, or Bledsoe and Brogdon, or Middleton, or whatever, and just sit them all down and say, hey, guys, can you play with this guy? And is there a reason why you can't? That type of thing. And you come in and just, I've always said the hardest, because people just think you can roll the basketballs out with Michael and you're going to win. Roll the basketballs out with Kobe and Shaq, you're going to win. That's not it. I think some of those teams with some of those superstars, to manage the ego of a superstar and to get them to commit to say, I'll play team versus me, and get a guy that's a burgeoning superstar, say like a Jabari, to say, I'll play team versus I got to get mine to be as good as Giannis. That's the hardest massage, I think, in all of any profession, is to try to get people that are superstars to admit they can't win it all by themselves. And you have to give some of the star power over to another guy so you can win as a team. Is that it?
Listen, guys know in this league, if they get 20 points and 8 rebounds, they'll probably get $15 to $20 million a year.
Right.
So they've done the math a lot of times and are thinking to themselves, or their people that are in their ear are telling them, these are the statistics that you need to get in order to get our family or to get this big contract. And then you have the coach saying, listen, you need to play your role. This is what you do. This is not what you do. And it goes very much against the fact that he was just told, I've got to average 20 and 8 and do this and play this minutes. So you're absolutely right. It is so difficult to get a group to truly buy into a system. And you always hear, winning gets everybody paid. And that's very true also. But getting guys to believe that versus the group that gets paid in the summer that you see was on a terrible team and they get 20 and 10, they say, fine, I just got to get 20 and 10 so I can get my money.
Right, right.
But when it comes together and you see a Golden State, you see guys taking these small pay cuts and coming together and figuring out, I can play my role. I still can get paid. I can be a part of something special. There'd be a legacy.
KD couldn't win without Steph. Shaq didn't win without Kobe. Michael didn't win without Scotty. I mean, everybody's got a Batman or the Robin. You have to be able to understand that going in. And then they don't win without a Rodman. And they don't win without other guys to clean the hoops and do the dirty work and be the enforcers and the badasses in the middle and play the roles. I mean, the Bucks don't get as far as they did back in 2001 without Scotty Williams. You know, Mark Pope, who came in and gave him energy minutes. I mean, everybody had a role in all of that. You didn't just give it to Ray Allen and say, here, go make a bunch of threes and we're going to win a bunch of basketball games. You had to have Glenn Robinson. You had to have Sam to distribute the basketball and be kind of an idiot team leader to say, I'm going to do something flamboyant to take the spotlight off of you so people quit coming at you. I agree with you. It's one of the hardest things to do in any profession.
It is. And there are guys that is their literal talent. Some guys, their talent is playing really, really hard. I think about guys like Eduardo Nájera and Ryan Bowen, these guys that were in the league because they played hard. There's also guys, like you just said, that are great veteran guys that are in the league to take that shine, to take a little bit of pressure off these stars. that it, they just don't handle it as well, the Stars. So they need a Jason Terry or a Kurt Thomas or a Rasheed Wallace or these guys that are on the team. They are the leader, helping a guy like maybe a Carmelo, who needs to be the guy but doesn't want to be the full-on leader. And so
it won't go to the bench, apparently.
he definitely won't go to the bench at $28
million. No. He's already said, I'm not getting paid to come off the bench. Let's do this. Let's go to the phone calls. A lot of people on hold. Let's go to Art downtown. Art, welcome to the program, man. How you doing?
Hey, Bill, Joe, Steve. Thanks for having me on. So Steve, let's play a little game here. You're the GM, and I'm going to be interviewing as a coach of this team. And you talked a lot about responsibilities, roles, players understanding what their role is on the team. And as a head coach, a guy who's interviewing his coach, I want to know from you as a GM, how about this as our core? Malcolm Brogdon, the rookie of the year, is going to be our pass-first point guard, and he's going to be the guy that facilitates for the most part. And Giannis and Jabari are going to be starting together, and they're going to be running in transition, throwing down monster dunks. Chris Middleton's going to be our shooter, and then whether we get a Whiteside or a Thon or whoever it is that's going to be the guy that's going to protect us defensively and help us with rebounding, is that a decent core that we can start with?
I think it's a fantastic core. I think we have, and you didn't name anybody, obviously, that we don't have other than you said, right, a center, a Whiteside, a big that we possibly bring in. I would never question the fact that we have an incredible core. My God. I mean, you saw Chris Middleton emerge in this playoff series as an absolute max level player. Giannis, like you said, unbelievable. I think Jabari, a guy who, yes, there are question marks about because he's never been able to truly get his run. He's been played injured. Now he's playing again. So who is this guy? I think there are a lot of teams that really, really, I think including the Bucks, that really like Jabari and know that his upside is to be seen. And so, yes, there's a core. I think it is of utmost importance to put, like we were just saying, the absolute right pieces around those guys that benefit the way that Giannis plays, that Jabari plays. Chris Middleton and Giannis, I think, are an incredible complement to each other. You saw it in this series. They open it up for each other. They need more complement than that.
How much does Jabari play into that?
Oh, we're going to see. I mean, I think that the decision that's going to be made this summer is going to be largely based financially, right?
Well, it is. I look at it, and we were talking about this off the air, but just my opinion is this is going to come down to, because I think Jabari's done enough to at least garner some money. You know, remember he said to us, he wished he was offered $18 million a year. So it's not about being a max player, okay? This is going to come down to Jabari, Giannis, Chris. They're going to look at those three guys and they're going to say, can you play together? Can you play together unselfish basketball? Can you three get together and say, we are going to be the trio with the compliments around us that are going to start to bring a title back to Milwaukee? And if you can't, and you can't get it out of your head that you don't have to be the man, then you're probably going to have to move on. Because you got, like you had said, you got to find guys to come in here and play unselfish basketball. And that's the only way it's going to happen. And not just saying, oh, by the way, we've got a new building and we've got Giannis. Who the hell cares? Guys want to get paid. Guys want to win. And if guys are going to come in and get paid and then they're going to be on a team of a bunch of selfish players, nobody's going to want to come here. No matter what kind of money you throw at them, they'll come in here and spend a couple of years and then bitch about it and be on their way. So I think it's whoever takes over this team, that's your first priority, is to sit down with the guys and go, I just want to talk to you for a minute, and here's what it is, and then figure it out. And maybe there's a lot of, you know, maybe it's a Festivus in the summertime, an airing of the grievances or something like that, and then everybody moves forward. And we go back to what we were talking about when we had Jabari on, where he said, look, I just got a house. A friend of mine lives a couple of doors up and said he was coming around introducing everybody to the neighborhood saying, hey, I'm Jabari Parker. Nice to meet you. I'm going to be here a while. And it's not like the guy wants to go anywhere else. He right? I mean, he told us, he said, on and off the air, this is my home. I made my home here, you know? So it's not like he wants to go anywhere. It's just whether or not they can all coexist. Let's back to the phone calls real quick. Well, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, take a few more phone calls. Steve Novak in studio with us, talking some Bucks basketball, kind of putting a cap on the season and moving forwards. More of the Bill Michael Show next. Center, proud sponsor of the program, and they have a 98% success rate of treating guys with ED, don't forget. And we have done the, I should say I have done, not Joe, but I have done the LOT treatments and been fantastic. They do that. Better mental clarity, better mood, better stamina. They can help you out. That's New Mail Medical Center. And T-shirt season. Steve Novak in studio with us. He's in a T-shirt. I just saw Gary Ellerson walk by. He's in a T-shirt. T-shirt season is upon us. If you look like you're smuggling a beer barrel, you need to hit the all-in-one weight loss program. I'm just saying. Otherwise, you're just going to keel over one day, and that's no good for anybody. 414-455-4451. 414-455-4451. That's the New Mail Medical Center. All you got to do is give them a call and just tell them, say, hey, need a little bit of help? I just want to get my numbers checked. Be good to go. Just set up an appointment. Steve Novak here in studio. Let's get back to the phone calls because a lot of people have been on hold a while. David on the east side of Milwaukee. David, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks
What's
for
up?
Letting me talk Bucks basketball with you guys. It's a pleasure.
Go ahead.
Just wanted to make the quick observation, critique on Giannis, if I could, and then a comment about Jabari real fast. Giannis, if I could critique his game, sorry. I feel like Giannis is a good player, but I'm noticing just off the eye test that he doesn't have the post game. Like, they're not able to, like, dump it into him on the block and let him work. You know, I'd like to see him develop maybe a jump hook, you know, a go-to move. Because that'll open the floor up as well. And, you know, and that all entails footwork and all that kind of stuff. Because you can use the entire court if you develop that. And then my second thing is with Jabari. Now, you said, Steve, earlier how, like, you know, making a shot can make you feel good, can change your attitude. And I feel the same thing can come with him getting an opportunity, a fresh start, maybe starting next year. And here's my next question. Because just off the eye test, just my personal opinion, I feel like Jabari is the more natural God-given talent on that team. He's explosive. He can dribble. His jumper is comparable, you know, that you can compare those two. And he can handle the ball as well. You know, so do you see a scenario in the future with a fresh start next year if Jabari remains here where he could be Batman? Because when the roles should have been different. Remember, Jabari was supposed to be the man, and then Giannis kind of came along and developed. And I don't know if part of it is, you know, blowing Giannis up and making him as good as he. Because let's just be honest, he's not a great player right now. He's still developing. That jump shot comes with time. Kobe didn't develop his great jump. Jordan, all them guys, it takes time. But you can see he has the. You can just look and tell that he, you know, it'll come together with that. But I'll get off, and I just want to know: do you feel like Jabari could be Batman, and then how do you feel Giannis would take that if the roles were a little bit reversed? Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
You know, I don't think that there needs to be like this Batman Robin label
right.
put on these guys. Giannis is a top five in the NBA player right now. He is the alpha dog. It is not Jabari's fault that he got hurt twice and that, yes, we don't know what his ceiling is right now. That is certainly what it is.
And he's admitted he's behind.
For sure, yes.
Yeah.
And he's come back unbelievably well. I mean, to see him this year after two ACL, so we know. But no, right now that is not realistic to say next year Jabari is the alpha and Giannis is kind of his Robin. No, that's not the case. But I do think that, to that caller's point, Jabari brings something totally different than Giannis does. And so, yes, if Jabari can continue to get better, the way that he can shoot the ball from the perimeter so well, especially since he came back, and the fact that he really makes, he's unpredictable. He makes the defense, you saw in the Boston series, he was very unpredictable. When he was good, their defense had to react. They knew what Giannis was going to do. They knew the game plan. They were all set on what they had to do with Giannis. But Jabari was kind of a wild card, and he does bring that to the team. And so
still has his explosiveness, too,
absolutely.
Which is amazing with what he's been through.
So, I do think that those two together can be fantastic, and Jabari can't continue to get better and healthier and stronger, but I don't think next year all of a sudden you have Jabari as the A1.
Yeah. Real quick, we got about a minute and a half left. Let's go to Chad listening to us in Beloit. Chad, how you doing today, man? Shoot.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Steve, you played for a lot of teams throughout the years in the NBA, a lot of coaches, a lot of coaching staffs. You know, I was just kind of curious on your take on this. Who are some of the names out there around the league that you'd like to see the Bucks have some interest in bringing for interviews?
You know, I played for nine teams in 11 years, and I played under guys like Jeff Van Gundy that were miserable to be around as a player. And then the next season I had Rick Adelman, who were a complete pleasure, players, coaches. So, you know, I would say this. I think Coach Prunty did a very good job with this squad. I think that it is very hard to change direction in the middle of a year and all of a sudden have a new identity. And I think that he very much continued the path that they were on and changed as much as he thought was necessary in order to, I think, have his own identity with this team, which is not that much. It's a tough thing. I believe he deserves a serious look to be able to have his own ship to really put his own stuff in. I think he did a good job in this series and showed something. I think a lot of the other names are so speculative. Some of the guys, obviously, are college. They're still have jobs. A lot of the guys that are names that are being thrown around are still have jobs in the NBA. So there's not guys' names that I would say. I also think that there's no question that whoever comes in has got to have a clear philosophy that's proven, not a name, not something sexy, someone who has a proven past. And I think fit with what Giannis and Jabari, if he's going to be re-signed this year, and Middleton want to be going forward. They all have got to be committed together. They have got to fit. The coach has got to fit what these players are trying to do.
Number one, get those three guys committed. Two, try to make a couple of moves. The coach has to get them all together, and then you believe the machine's intact. There you go. Steve, always a pleasure, man. It was a great season. We had a lot of fun. We had fun anyway, didn't we?
We had a great time.
There you go. Steve Novak joining us for an hour, and we certainly appreciate his time. Going to go and take a quick break. When we come back, Brian Billick, the Super Bowl-winning head coach, now NFL Network analyst. He's going to join us coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.